Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the 13 Club podcast. I am Kim.
And I'm Miranda.
And today we have a full-length episode for you. We decided to go along with our continued theme of Japanese horror and spookiness. Mine is could be called three different things. Number one is the Sasebo slashing.
Okay.
And number two is the Nevada Tan. And three is Girl A.
Girl A.
And so what I'm basically going to do is I'm going to describe the basics of the crime, and then I will go into why I chose it, basically.
Okay.
So on June 1st, 2004, Girl A, also known as Nevada Tan, took classmate Satomi Mitarai, and it should be noted that Girl A was 11 years old and Mitarai was 12.
Okay.
She took her into an empty classroom, slashed her throat with a box cutter, and I think she also slashed her arm. That's only in, like, some of the accounts of it. And then she left the body and then returned to her own classroom covered in Mitarai's blood. The teacher saw her, noticed the other girl was missing, was basically like, well, this is going to be the worst day of my life, yeah. You know? And she went to find her. Obviously, the police were called. They grabbed her, put her in custody, where she cried the whole time and apologized for what she had done. At first, she said she had no motive or no reason to kill her. Mm-hmm. And then after that, she said that she was bullied online by her. Saying that the girl had made negative comments about her weight and called her a goody-goody.
Hmm.
She was then sent to a reformatory in Tochigi Prefecture, and she spent that time from 2004 to 2013, where she was finally released as an adult. This was controversial because at the time, usually, like, 11-year-olds didn't serve that much time.
Right.
But two girls had been killed in 2000 by a 14-year-old boy, and that was when they decided that the age of responsibility was lowered from 16 to 14,
mm-hmm.
because they wanted to, like, try him full on.
Right.
And they almost made the age of responsibility in Japan in general down to the age of 12 because of her. She was basically tried as an adult and stayed there until she was 20. And during that time, she received a psych eval and she was diagnosed as having Asperger's syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
When they just did the investigation on her, they found that this is like one of those situations where people start pointing fingers really hard at violent media, saying that that's the reason why these crimes occur.
Always.
So she was very into Battle Royale, which is a book, manga, and movie series about a bunch of children who fight to the death, literally, till there can only be one.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two reports on this. One of them says that she had a website saying that had, like, sort of Battle Royale fan fiction, and then also the link to this flash animation that was really popular at that time called The Red Room.
Mm-hmm.
And others say that it was just a bookmark on her computer. But, I mean, either way, I guess she was just shown to really like those two things.
Uh-huh.
So those two things got such a bad reputation that even the release of the Battle Royale 2 DVD was delayed.
Wow.
Because of current events.
Damn.
The media was criticized a lot when referring to her for three reasons. One was that one publication referred to her as Genki, which means, like, good or lively or, like, healthy. Another outlet called The Method of Killing Manly, and they were both, like, slammed really hard. And then the third one was that there was a TV series that was called All About Nevada Tan. And I should clarify at this point that Nevada Tan, the reason that they called her that, was she was wearing a University of Nevada sweatshirt in a picture released by the press.
Huh.
And then Tan is like how a child would say Chan, and Chan is like an honorific for a little girl. So, Nevada-ton. So they did like a kind of gross special that was like all about Nevada-ton. They put some of her drawings on TV and then they didn't really like, I don't know if this was intentional, but basically her drawings had her signature on them. And originally they were not going to release her name because they don't release the names of criminal minors in Japan. But her name was Natsumi Tsuji, and now everybody knew that.
Oh no.
So media handled it badly, and there was actually a professor that used her as an example in his controversial like theory, which later became a book called Game Brain, where he studied the negative effects of video games on the human brain. He was criticized for using unreliable measures and for misinterpreting beta waves. His book was laughed out of Japan so hard that it was nominated for Japan's Outrageous Book Award and was categorized in pseudoscience. I feel like that would not happen here in the
People
US.
would take it completely seriously.
There would be some people that would become absolute devotees to this theory and that would cite it, and it would be like the whole thing about like vaccines causing autism.
Yeah, no, totally. I had the same exact thought because I think, say, I don't know where I've heard of it before, but I'm like positive I've heard of this Game Brain book, and that like theory. And that absolutely sounds like something that here in the US we would be like seeing it shared all over Facebook, and it would be on like Fox News, and Alex Jones would be talking about Game Brain. I'm like, yeah.
And then, I mean, we've done it because there have been American professors and scientists that have also studied it and condemned video games. And now a lot of scientific studies are coming out saying that, like, actually, it helps your like dexterity and helps keep your brain sharp. So the media like really kind of screwed it up, but for us that's probably not even a thing because our media screws it up every time and they're always like, as far as like calling her Genki or Good and Lively, like they do that shit all the time where they're just like, oh, he was such a promising young student. It's just such a shame that he like, shot up a movie theater because now his life is ruined.
Of course.
Only if he's white though.
Yes, exactly.
Sorry to get so political, but
I mean, you're just saying things that are true facts.
So now we'll talk about the like ripples that kind of just started in Japan and came all the way over to English media. And the place where they really started to grab a hold of her and actually create memes, fan arts, and cosplays was 2channel, which we've discussed on here before, but it's basically where 4chan came from. It's the Japanese original version of 4chan, and which is an image board where they have, really boards for everything, but they're mostly known for their like absolutely disgusting awfulness that they allow, which most sites don't. And so yeah, they became like pretty obsessed with her to the point where they were, if you search hard enough, which I don't really see why you would because I don't think it's like that relevant, but they went and they found like pictures, other pictures of her from like the yearbook of her playing like basketball, and they even tracked down where her home was because they were so obsessed with finding out about her. And there was definitely a note of like male pedophilia involved in this where
I'm not surprised.
there were comments that were like, I will make her mine, like I like want this little girl.
No, thank you.
Which is twisted in a lot of ways. Like the only reason that there wasn't any attention drawn to her was that these people probably have some form of hebephilia, which is like the sexual and intellectual attraction to somebody who's done something like absolutely atrocious.
These are like the same people that are like following Ted Bundy into court and stuff like that. Except this is
But
just
then
a
there's like,
child.
it's the pedophile version of that for sure.
Yes.
It's the male pedophile version of it. So then eventually it started coming over here, and she had an Urban Dictionary. She still does have some Urban Dictionary entries on her. Encyclopedia Dramatica had entries on her, which if you don't know what that is, you really don't need to know what it is. But basically, it's like a wiki for like awful topics that come from 4chan, where it's just like it's extremely like every ist you could be, like, sexist, ableist, like, racist, all of those things. And it's just, like, they describe things in the most hateful, shitty way possible.
Yeah.
And actually, I was interested to see their Encyclopedia Dramatica article on her, because sometimes they do end up, like, getting more information than most media outlets do, because they will, like, go through, like, the message boards and, like, find, like, small details.
They really hunt it out.
But it's actually it's actually been taken down.
Wow.
And I couldn't even find a Wayback Machine on it.
That's kind of surprising.
But probably a good thing.
Yeah, for sure. But I guess I haven't thought about that website since I was in high school, but, like,
I actually didn't check to see if the website itself is gone, but just that page. So then, the year of 2005, the sweatshirt had to be removed from the University of Nevada's website, because there were people ordering it en masse, and then they were tipped off to why, and they were like, let's not feed this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they cut that off.
Good for them.
An Australian indie band has a song about her called Box Cutter Baby. They are called Love Outside Andromeda. I've never heard of them, obviously. I don't think anyone else probably has here either. There is an entire image board on a website called eChan about her, which I didn't go to because I just didn't feel like it. I felt like I knew where I was going, and I was just like, I'm gonna not. A German band also named themselves Nevadaton after her, and they were forced to rename themselves in 2008 after management was like, listen, you kind of, like, if you want to be successful, you need to stop.
Yeah.
People have made many tribute videos about her. When I was looking things up on the internet, you know, this past week, I even found, like, current Twitter and Instagram accounts that are dedicated to her.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, people calling themselves Nevadaton, people uploading pictures of her, people uploading cosplays of her, people uploading some of the fan arts that have been made about her. People uploading information about, like, little images that have, like, infographics about, like, the crime.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is crazy that of all of, like, not to downplay this, but, like, of all of the murders and atrocities that happen in the world every single day, people are still so hung up on this one event.
If I had to guess, I think it's a combination of the fact that it's such a violent crime, like, perpetrated by a child. And not just a child, but by a girl child.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like,
it does, but also, since then, there have been, like, other crimes in Japan that have been, I wouldn't say, like, I'm not trying to, like I said, I'm not trying to downplay what happened.
Sure.
But I would say, like, arguably worse, because there was actually one that happened, oddly enough, in the exact same town.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll get into, like, the weirdness of that, but there was a girl, 2014, a 16-year-old girl in the exact same town, killed and decapitated a girl, and that obviously didn't get the kind of traction that this crime did. And I feel like my theory on this is that, like, there was already so much established as far as people being obsessed with it and making, like, fan art and dolls and whatever else about her, that, like, it just kind of, people are like, oh, that was crazy, like, that's so dark, that's, like, and, like, some of these people are like, wow, that's so edgy, and then just, like, make it a part of my personality, and I'm gonna present that on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And then, now I'm gonna get into, like, the Red Room legend,
uh-huh.
And, like, why, how people, like, if you look this up, people constantly associate the Red Room with this crime. Because she was known to have watched it and enjoyed it. And basically what it is it's like almost plays, it's like a flash game that plays out like a visual novel, and it's based on the Red Room legend. And the Red Room legend was about a pop-up that would pop up on your computer,
mm-hmm.
And it would say, do you like, do you like, do you like? And then it would become like, do you like red? Do you like the Red Room? And by the point where it gets to, do you like the Red Room, there are different, some people say you just die instantly, and then some people say that you kill yourself by cutting yourself open and you paint the walls red with your blood.
Mm-hmm.
And then it passes on, and, like, at the end of the flash animation, it shows the names of all the people who have been affected, and, like, now there's your name there too.
Uh-huh.
Like, I actually went back and watched it, and I feel like, honestly, the Red Room thing is, like, pretty tame for us nowadays, but the pop-up itself is, like, I feel like, well-designed and a little spooky, and I think part of the reason why it's spooky is because, like, a lot of times when people design the pop-up, or if you look at the pop-up for that initial flash animation, it's like, handwritten, and which is, like, odd for, like, a computer, you know?
Right.
And then it has a sound that goes with it, and I actually, like, I found the sound, and you may listen to it now.
Yeah, it's a very weird little sound. I like...
Yeah.
And it, like, it's... What... Like, I... My, like, non-existent Japanese can, like, understand it enough to, like, it's...
Mm-hmm.
Do you, like, something, but whatever the something is, there's, like, that weird barking sound, kind of. And it's not literally, like, a barking sound. It's this very, like, high-pitched voice, and then, like, that... Like, it doesn't sound like that either, but you know what I'm talking about. That specific sound
it's
is
not a
voice. Weird.
It's not really a sound that a human can make. Yeah, that it's like a little spooky, in that way.
It's definitely unsettling. Definitely, definitely unsettling.
Yeah, it's unsettling.
And it's also, I think, like, the pop-up, this, like, persistent... Because I remember I definitely saw, like, a... I don't know if it was the same one, but I saw a Red Room style flash of some kind, like, a bajillion years ago.
Probably around 2004.
Exactly. And I remember, like, the really, like, persistent pop-up that, like, wouldn't go away no matter how much you clicked on it and stuff. Like, now everything has, like, a million ad blockers, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, at that time, like, that was not a thing. Right. Or, like, it was, but, like, I mean, not as pervasively as it is now, and, like, you could get a virus, like, you know, you could fuck up your whole computer, and this is, like, a...
And some of us have. Some of us have gotten a virus that fucked up our whole computer, like, back in that era. Like, I definitely did.
Who hasn't?
I got, like, a super... I was, like, you know, this is probably my own fault, but I was, like, pirating, video games, and, I ended up, like, downloading, like, the most disgusting, like, weird, gross BDSM, like, bloody, disgusting porn
virus
that took over my computer. And, like, I didn't have, like, the courage to try to get somebody to fix it for me, so I just, like, reinstalled Windows.
Damn, girl. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it, and this is maybe just something that comes from that period and, like, the early internet period, but it's, like, the concept of, like, this almost like a computer virus jumping into like the real world, like this pop-up that like can have an effect on your physical body and your mental state. And it makes me think of also, because I think if I remember correctly, this was written in like 97, 99, something like that, but when like The Ring, the book was written, and like its sequels, it like was very much kind of about this concept of like almost like
a videotape.
Yeah, well, and even like if you get, like, further into the sequels, it's the curse itself becomes more and more, like, a mix between a computer virus and a biological virus in the way that it operates. And, like, that kind of, like, mixing of, like, the real biological life with, like, artificial intelligence and computer-y technology.
A computer having the ability to, like, influence you physically.
Yes.
And not only you, but many people or whoever it comes in contact with.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's like the, you know, man versus machine fear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but she's, usually when you look up the Red Room, like, she's often associated because of the fact that she liked it. And then people say that there was the, that she made the Red Room curse real. But, I mean, if you actually listen to what the curse states will happen, that's... not accurate.
Yeah, it's pretty different.
Yeah, it's very different. Okay, so as far as like the Red Room curse thing, I just had like a little snippet of like basically somebody being sensationalistic about it. And, like, this is the kind of stuff that people talk about and think about, and, like, how it becomes, like, a conspiracy and, like, this weird loop. So this was posted, I'm not gonna even say who it was posted by, because I'm not trying to, like, make fun of anyone. But it was posted 5 years ago on a link that was about that second crime we talked about the 15-year-old girl in Sasebo. And this person posted, one person says, Nevada Town 2.0 has arisen. And the second person says, for those that don't know, every 10 years, a teenage girl murders another teenage girl in that town. On June 1st, 2004, an unspeakable event occurred in Sasebo, Japan. The Sasebo slashing refers to the brutal murder of Satomi Mirai, a 12-year-old elementary school girl, by her younger female classmate known as Girl A, or more colloquially, Nevada Tan. That was 10 years ago, to the day. And then they linked to a Tofugu article, which Tofugu is a, like, originally known as a Japanese, like, learning aid, but they're, like, kind of casual, and they help you learn in, like, a more natural way for, like, weebs.
Yeah.
Basically. Like, if you like anime and you like this stuff, like, this is a more natural way for you to, like, learn. And I've listened to their podcast before, just for Japanese learning, and it's pretty good, but they wrote an article back in 2014, I want to say, and it was about, like, how the Red Room Curse was the legend that became a reality because of Nevada Tan, and they've since deleted it because I think they realized that that's, like, kind of insensitive. Oh, I guess I would say it was probably written earlier than that, but removed in 2013 slash... Oh, okay, it was written in 2013, and then deleted shortly thereafter because she was released around that time. I don't know if it was because of that, but she was released around that time, and it was written by an intern, so perhaps, like, management was like, hey, that's insensitive, maybe don't do that.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know how much you remember about, like, the sarin gas attacks.
I remembered them, but I don't know, like, the high details of them.
So, the sarin gas attacks were basically led by a person named Shoko Asahara, and they called themselves Om Shinrikyo, and they, it says here, like, the person summarized it for us here, and it says, on June 27, 1994, in Matsumoto, Japan, with the help of a converted refrigerator truck, members of the cult released a cloud of sarin gas which floated near the homes of judges who were overseeing a lawsuit concerning a real estate dispute, which was predicted to go against the cult. From this one event, 500 people were injured and 7 people died. But why in Tokyo? That doesn't fit, right? What you don't know is that the perpetrator, Shoko Asahara, was born in a town called Yatsushiro. Look at the, where that town is compared to where these attacks took place. So it's, like, very close to Sasebo.
So they're trying to correlate those attacks, like, to this, like, centralized location. They're trying to say, like, this area...
Yeah, around here, a teenage girl is murdered by another teenage girl, and, let's see, Shoko Asahara was an adult man at this time, but I don't know if perhaps he had, teenage girls in his cult, and that's what they mean by that, that they helped to commit a crime that caused another teenage girl to be, like, one of the 7 murders that occurred.
Maybe.
I think it's a stretch. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say
that's bad journalism. To
it's a Reddit comment, so. This is just a Reddit comment. Okay. Tofugu did not say any of that. Okay. Tofugu just basically said, they had, like, a summary of what the Red Room Curse was, including another version of it, which was about, like, basically it's similar to the, woman in white. Where, except she's a woman in red, and if you, like, pick her up in your car, then you're gonna die. So they, like, they talked about, like, a couple different versions of the Red Room Curse, and then they talked about, like, they basically made what had the murder sound, like, pretty campy, and they were just like, oh, isn't this, like, crazy? This, like, legend became a reality, because look at this real murder. And it's bad. Like, it's a bad article, and I'm, like, glad they deleted it. But I did go back and use the Wayback Machine to look at it, and these are some of the, as they said, like, common theories, which I didn't see a lot of evidence to see that these were common theories, but perhaps they were at the time of publication. And people said that the common theories are that the Red Room curse is, like, a communist virus, and that, like, they're trying to, like, brainwash people into communism by getting them, like, scared about it and saying that, you know, it's going to cause your suicide, but what it really does is, like, convert you to communism, because literally no other reason than the color red.
That's so stupid. I'm sorry. That's dumb.
That's really fucking stupid. That's, and so then, dumb. Like, a really similar theory is that it's like, replace communism with North Korea. Ugh. And they're like, this is a North Korean virus, like, to get in your head, and, like, North Korea is known to abduct Japanese people, and that's what they're trying to do. Of course, there's, like, zero evidence to suggest that, and from what we know, the only existence of an actual Red Room pop-up is just a Flash animation that somebody made.
Right. Also,
which is, like, a game.
Wouldn't it make more sense if, like, they were trying to do that there, if people were going missing? Like,
right.
If people were going missing, it's like, ooh, like, North Korean
abductions. Well, they claim that people are going missing.
Hmm. Well,
that people go missing all the time because North Korea is kidnapping Japanese people, and this is one of their tools that they employ.
Perhaps they do, but I don't think this is one of those tools.
Absolutely not.
I think that's a,
like, because we've never seen any evidence of an actual pop-up or an actual virus that has this type of thing. Like, not even somebody who programmed a virus to look like this. Like, we've never seen any evidence of that. We just know of this Flash animation.
Right.
And, like, maybe some copycat Flash animations. I feel like maybe E-Bomb's World, during a certain time, I could see somebody making, like, a copy.
I mean, maybe that's even what I saw, because, like I said, I know I saw something like this. It could have been a copycat or something.
And then, of course, there's the other, like, what we know about, like, I feel like what, like, maybe our age of culture, internet culture knows what a Red Room is, and according to us, a Red Room is, like, a place on, people say it's the dark web, but it's not actually, I could go about this all day, but it's not actually possible to program something this complex on the dark web. Like, it's, you, if you ever go on it, it's literally just, like, a bunch of text links, and it takes, like, it's like running on dial-up. Like, it takes you forever to load a single image. Like, there's no way that this could occur on the deep web or dark web. But people saying that, and there's also people saying that people host it on private servers on the regular internet, and it's, like, password protected, but it's, like, where they sell people.
Uh-huh.
Or it's, like, a hostile type situation where people pay to kill someone, and then they broadcast it over, like, this Red Room.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the term Red Room has, like, on the internet become, like, such an internet urban legend that there are many versions of it.
Uh-huh.
But at the time, that type of Red Room didn't exist.
Right.
There was a virus that did go around, especially in Japan, and it was called the love letter virus.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically where somebody would get an email that says, I love you. And then when you, like, you're supposed to, like, download the rest of the message to find out, like, who loves you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a virus. The answer is nobody. Nobody loves you. I have two closing thoughts. One is that I read on some, like, Wayback Machine 2-channel threads that she is now married. Well, at least when she, at like, probably in, like, 2015, people reported that she was, like, married and living a normal life now.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't find any, like, sources for that, but I've seen it a few different places where people say she's, like, married and living a normal life now.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing is that I saw, like, a little rumor, and I actually don't really know about this band, but I've heard about them. There's, like, a British pop band that's called Caro Caro Bonito.
Yeah.
I've just never listened, but their, like, lead singer is Japanese, and according to a Reddit thread, or a Reddit post, it was in, like, a confessions post. This girl was like, I know that she's related to Nevadaton. Her name is Sarah Bonito.
Mm-hmm.
This girl was like, when I was, like, in high school, I went over to her house to do, like, some kind of school project. We were talking about, like, crazy stories, and she was like, yeah, you want to hear a crazy story? Like, my cousin, like, killed someone with a box cutter when she was 11. She's like been in prison forever.
Wow.
She was just like, I don't believe you. And she was like, no, seriously. And she like showed her news articles, and then she was like, yeah, that's my cousin, like our moms are sisters. But that's just like what one random person on the internet said.
Yeah.
So we don't know that for a fact, but yeah, that was an odd thing I found like at the end of my search.
And that's also like kind of a crazy thing to claim for, like, I like Carol Caro Bonito, and I've listened to her for a couple of years, but I think, like, for a lot of people, that's a very, like, indie kind of, like, I don't want to say, like, underground, but that's not, like, say, like, Beyonce, like, something like everybody knows who that is really, like,
right.
That would be, like, a really outrageous and, like, obviously fake claim. This is, like, somebody that, like, isn't super incredibly popular. I don't know. That's interesting.
It seems, like, a little bit too, like, niche and specific to be a lie.
Right.
Like, why would you even want to start that rumor?
Right.
Because what is the actual point? But then, like, I was also thinking, like, there's a small chance that the girl from Caro Bonita did say that, but it wasn't true.
Yeah.
You know?
You could also...
Like, maybe she was just being... The person claimed that she used to dress in, like, very, like, gothic, like, Hot Topic-y type styles. So, like, maybe she was just being an edgelord.
Maybe. But you never know.
I'm not accusing her of that.
No.
I'm just saying I thought about it as a possibility. I was kind of an edgelord back then, too.
Yeah. And it could all also always just be completely fucking made up. Because yeah, there's no, like, better lie.
That's,
like,
again, I want to know why.
Yeah. My closing thought, and while you were talking earlier, I thought you were going to bring this up, and this, like, I would say, like, I would make this a postmortem, but I don't think I honestly have enough information about this to even make it a postmortem, but this case reminds me of the, like, the Yandere stabbing that happened last year. Did you hear about that?
Uh-uh.
I'll just, like, talk about it, like, really, really, really quick, and I won't make it, like, a big deal, but, it's on Know Your Meme, but,
mm-hmm.
It was a murder attempt made by a 21-year-old woman named Yuka Takaoka involving stabbing a man in her Tokyo home on May 23rd, 2019. Following Takaoka's statements on how she intended to kill her victim out of love, multiple internet users compared her behavior to that of a yandere and made, like, tons and tons of fan art about her. And people were like, I want to date yandere, I want, like, yandere-chan, I want to, like... and also, like,
so in case you don't know what yandere is, it's like basically usually an archetype in anime.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the term comes from, and it's like usually a girl who is like so obsessed with their love interest that they're like, they make shrines of them and they want to like smell their hair and they want to just like, they're absolutely like psychotically obsessed with them, and like to the point where sometimes they even want to kill them because they love them so much.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of like it can be like a kind of a fun, interesting thing in anime, but it's not a real life thing.
Yeah. You're not, it's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
But like, so, the man was taken to the hospital in critical condition with two abdominal wounds made with a kitchen knife. During police questioning, Takaoka was quoted saying, since I loved him so much, I just couldn't help it. After killing him, I too wanted to die. Somebody tweeted photographs of the crime scene, so I guess that's out there if you wanted to look that up. And they, like, people figured out what her Instagram account was. And there were, like, apparently she was, like, big into cosplay, and one of the characters that she did was, Himiko Toga from My Hero Academia, which I have cosplayed before, and is also a very, like, yandere, stabby, like,
mm-hmm.
So people, like, fucking went nuts, and there's, like, tons of, like, fan art of her, and, like, people, like, went, it's not the same, but, like,
it's very similar. That's the same type of sensationalist behavior.
Mm-hmm. So this reminds me, like, quite a bit of that kind of response from the internet and, like, the public.
Absolutely. Yeah. Also, was thinking about covering the other, like, murder where the girl decapitated her classmate for, like, a postmortem. And I may still, if there's enough info, but that girl also, when she murdered her, she posted like pictures of like her bloody hands and like pictures of bloody towels and stuff on 2chan. And then she was like basically like almost like live tweeting it
Oh, wow.
and saying like I laugh because it's like uncomfortable, not because I think it's funny.
Right.
But she was almost like live tweeting it and saying like there like blood keeps coming out even though I've wiped it like several times, and people thought it was a joke, so they were like, yeah, like kill her.
Wow. Whew.
But yeah, I may, if there's enough info, I will cover that
And yeah.
at a later time. Like, I didn't want to get too into that because that is an interesting true crime story, but I wanted to focus on Nevada Tan and the legends around her and all that.
Right. And yeah, maybe like since this is a really, really recent case, like almost just a year ago, if any further information happens about this girl, maybe she goes to jail. I don't know what's going on with her, but if anything interesting happens with that, I will update in a postmortem someday. But
Yeah. Sounds good.
that was a
That's all
really,
I
it
got.
was good. It was great. I loved it.
It's a classic from my old internet edgelord days.
You got like a really interesting like true crime case. You've got some like urban legends and some internet weirdness. Like you got it all. You got it all.
That's why I covered it. I usually like I only do true crime if it like is especially bizarre in some way.
My topic today, I like continuing with most of the topics I've done during this month. I was like, I got my idea from one of the books made by Tara A. Devlin. This one was the Reikon Volume 1, which is about haunted locations in Japan. But I was feeling bad that I've covered so much of her stuff directly as she's written it, and I really tried to do some extra research on this one to supplement it and not be like I don't want to border on getting into plagiarizing her stuff, but I truly, and y'all know that I can over research the shit out of things, all I found was basically stuff she had already covered anyway, for the most part. And
Well, I wouldn't feel horrible about that because I actually found an article from her, or actually a YouTube video. I found a YouTube video about the Red Room and Nevada-tan, and like when I listened to it, it was just exactly the same information that I've heard elsewhere. So it's just a lot of it is we're just reciting the same facts, you know?
Right. Well, she definitely so I looked up this particular
Like she's
location.
a boss. I'm not trying to downplay her. Like she's done her research. She is a boss.
Yes, definitely. She's just I guess in this particular instance especially, she was the authority because I looked up this location a lot of times in a lot of places, and it would be here's, what we heard happened in this house, or here's the legend of the house, but a fact would be slightly different between one telling and the other. And she has the most thorough, sometimes the story goes this way and sometimes the story goes this way. She really nailed it down, and she really streamlined it. But I did also though, in the interest of trying to find something new to people who like me are passionate for more information, I did find somebody else's blog post that you guys might find interesting, but I'll do that at the end. So what I am going to talk about is the Yellow House, also sometimes known as the Triangle House. The location is actually given in the book, and there are lots of links to where you can actually find this location on Google Maps. But the location is in Hachijiri 95, Jimokuji, Ama City, Aichi Prefecture, and I guess the zip code is 490-1111. So I'm gonna read from the book and then I'm gonna read from the blog. It looked just like any other house. The yellow paint was a little tacky and the triangle yard a little strange, but to anyone passing by on the busy street it was located in, it was just another family home. Only it wasn't. Rumors said that the house was built in the 1980s by a young husband and wife, but the husband was a prolific gambler, and before long the couple were in huge debt. His wife pleaded for him to stop, but he didn't. They were in over their heads with nowhere left to go. So the wife made a decision, and one night, after her husband returned home, she killed him and then took her own life. but that was only the beginning of the cursed house. Little solid details are known about the so-called Yellow House in Aichi Prefecture. It goes by many names to the occult-loving public, but the Yellow House, thanks to its paint job, or the Triangle House, thanks to its triangular yard, are the most common. The most popular story says the house was built in the 1980s by a young couple. Details are scarce, and there are many variations to the story, but the most common version tells of a man who wasn't able to beat his gambling addiction, racking up a huge debt and resulting in his wife murdering him before committing suicide, unable to take it any longer. This was just the start of what would be a long line of cursed families living in the house. Much like the infamous house in the Ju-on movies, and the house even came to be called the real-life Ju-on, just stepping inside could lead to being cursed. The land the Yellow House was built on was once a cemetery, if the rumors are to be believed. At some point in the past, the graves were moved and the land was put up for sale. An old woman opened up a small fruit and vegetable stall on the empty land, but she was evicted shortly thereafter, and the land put up for sale as a residential spot. Rumors grew that memorial services were not held for the moved graves, however, and so the spirits continued to hang around even after the Yellow House was first built.
While the I was just like, don't fucking move graves. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's don't move graves.
Bad
don't
idea.
Fucking move graves.
Let people rest in peace. No, you're right.
Yeah. Don't move them.
Just let it go. While the gambling story is the most common, other variations include a businessman who lost it all when the economic bubble burst, ending in a double suicide with his young wife because of their inability to pay back hefty loans. A slight variation on that story tells of only one of the couple committing suicide, while others have an entire family committing suicide in the house. Most stories tend to focus on the tragedy of a young husband and wife, however, and the stories always end with their deaths. About 5 or 6 years after the first couple died in the house, it's said that another young couple moved in. They only lasted 6 months before moving out, and if you believe the rumors, it's because one of them went mad and was forced to be hospitalized. The lingering regret and malice of the first couple to die inside the Yellow House had not moved on. The next couple to move in lasted a year before they also moved out, and this cycle continued over and over, with up to 5 different families moving into the house before moving out again a short time later. The shortest stay was only 3 days, the longest one 1 year. Was it truly the malice of the first couple forcing people out of their home, or was it something else? This curse wasn't limited to the house's residents. Of the 2 police officers who visited the scene of the original crime, one ended up broken mentally and forced to live his time out in a hospital while the other tried to take his own life. He was unsuccessful in his attempt and forced to live out the rest of his life disabled in a hospital. There are also slight variations to the tale of the 2 police officers that went mad, however. In one version, they went to investigate the disappearance of an owner long after the original couple died. In this case, one officer went mad and was institutionalized, while the other simply went missing and was never seen again. Another version tells of 3 officers who visited the empty residence after receiving reports of shadowy figures on the 2nd floor. They entered the house, but were unable to find anything. But a short while later, 2 of the officers went mad, whilst the other lost his memory and lived out the rest of his life as an invalid. A 3rd version tells of 2 officers visiting the house after receiving a call from the owner of poltergeist-like activity taking place. The officers stayed overnight in the house to investigate, and as you may have guessed by now, one of the officers went mad and the other disappeared. A more recent version tells of a group of teenagers entering the house for a kimodameshi, a test of courage, and ended up being possessed by spirits. The police were called in to investigate their strange actions, and one officer ran towards the house screaming, "Who are you? Who are you?" But there was nobody there, and that officer was later institutionalized. Not enough police officers yet? Yet another version tells of a police officer visiting the house late at night after receiving reports of strange sounds. But a mere 5 minutes after entering the dark, empty house, he was seen fleeing the scene, screaming into the night. It's not just police officers who are affected by the house. There are just as many versions that tell of teenagers and thrill seekers entering the house to see what the fuss is about, only to end up going mad, possessed by ghosts, disappearing, or some combination of the above. The common theme running through all these stories is the same. Enter the house and you'll be cursed, and in some cases you may even die. Another popular story tells of a spirit medium. In some versions, it's Gibo Aiko, who is like a famous like paranormal investigator in Japan.
Okay.
Gibo Aiko visited the house to record a program on ghosts for TV. The moment the medium stood in front of the triangular yard, however, she froze. She refused to go in, and no amount of persuading would work, and the program ended up being canceled. A slight variation of the same story reveals that the spirit medium did step foot inside the yard, But the moment she did, she started to act strange, and filming had to be canceled in order to get her help. As a result, the medium ended up losing her memory of the event, I assume. There were even rumors that the horror drama Damned File, filmed by a nearby Nagoya TV station, tried to shoot an episode of the drama at the house, but ultimately were unable to enter. Perhaps for the best, considering what happened to everyone else who went inside. These aren't even the only stories. Over the years, rumors of the house grew and took on a life of their own, with the house becoming an urban legend in its own right. Supposedly, people who lived in the house heard tapping sounds when no one was around, experienced poltergeist phenomena, heard the laughter of a child late at night on the second floor, saw shadows wandering the halls of the house at all hours, and even witnessed blood leaking from the shower. After the house was abandoned, people reported seeing the pale face of a woman looking down at them from the second floor, and occasionally a mother and child standing on the veranda. A mother holding her baby was seen on the front steps, and a baby's cries heard from the second floor. The spirits of a child and middle-aged man were seen by a rock in the garden, as well as that of an old lady wandering the empty house. Orbs were often seen floating in and around the house, and the sounds of footsteps heard in empty rooms. It's also said that if you took photos inside the building, you would be able to capture ghosts, and if you took your phone inside, it would stop working. In 1996, an apartment complex was built next to the Yellow House lot, but if you believe the rumors, the curse isn't contained in the triangular yard, and the apartments had trouble keeping residents for any length of time on the first floor. Workers were then called in to destroy the Yellow House, but they were not immune either, and several reportedly went mad while others died on the job, and demolition of the house was delayed. One of the most famous features of the house was the blood-stained bed on the second floor. The house was left abandoned at some point with all the furniture inside. It was forbidden to trespass, and many tried to get permission over the years, but were denied. This didn't stop teenagers looking for a thrill, however, and various videos made it to YouTube from their adventures inside the house. The blood-stained bed grew in fame, supposedly the site of the last murder in the house. There is, of course, no evidence that this is true, nor that the stain on the bed is even blood. Videos showed the state of the house at the time, which, like many abandoned buildings, was falling apart at the seams. Some lay the blame of the house's curse on the yard itself, and not the spirits that are said to reside there. The yard forms a triangle, not a square, and in feng shui, a triangular plot of land is said to be the worst. The triangle invites trouble into the house, particularly mental illness, and doesn't allow it to leave. Was the house doomed from the start, or was it an accident after accident that compounded to create the awful malice that ended up residing by the end? We may never truly know, because in 2015, the Yellow House was finally torn down. The lot is now a parking lot, but depending on who you talk to, some report seeing the figure of a ghost loitering in the empty lot even today.
So I feel sad for that ghost.
I know. You're like only home. Like the only place that's left to you is gone now. Now it's just like this weird little
A homeless ghost lot. Is the saddest ghost.
Definitely. So when I like was looking this up, I read a lot of different articles that were like retelling some or all of those same types of like accounts, and I tried to do as much research as I could from like specifically Japanese websites, although I know essentially no Japanese. Most of the stuff I had to translate through Google Translate, so most like some of it might be like kind of off, but I would read like the comments on articles and posts about this, and like I saw overwhelmingly like a ton of comments that were like blaming it on the triangle part of the yard.
Yeah.
So I guess like I don't know if that's representative.
That's a superstition that I didn't know about previously, so that is interesting.
Yeah, I'm not really familiar with it either, and like my mom went through like an extreme feng shui phase in like the early 2000s, but I like did not know that. And like I think it's interesting because like in my mind maybe that's like I don't want to say like the least credible, but like saying, like, oh, this was, like, built on an old graveyard, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's definitely gonna fucking curse you, for sure. But, like, being really unfamiliar with, like, feng shui and these concepts, I guess it's hard for me to, like, process, like,
how bad these vibes are. Vibe
yeah.
check.
Yeah. How bad you're really screwing yourself with this triangle here, because I'm just not familiar with that. But a lot of comments that I read were, like, they should have known better, like, this triangle lot is bad. I read some comments, none of them were, like, long enough to really, like, get into or, like, reread here, but people that were, like, I was, like, a neighbor to this house, or, like, I lived near this neighborhood, like, I don't know if any of the rumors are true, but, like, if you walk past this place, it is, like, definitely, like, a bad vibe, like, I would not recommend you search this place out kind of stuff. And I found one blog post, I'm going to read to you guys, it is run through Google Translate, so I apologize in advance for anything that I'm getting incorrect because Google translated it incorrectly. If something seems like really bizarre, I'll just like kind of skip over it. And I will definitely link it in our blog post. The name of their blog is The Bizarre Days of Pink Hull, according to Google Translate. This particular post was called The Result of a Triangular House. It was posted on August 15th of 2014, so this would have been like, you know, within a year of when it was demolished. And I'm going to summarize parts of these where like the translation is wonky. It's 12 o'clock before getting off at Jimeji Station, which would be, they're at 12 o'clock p.m. It was raining lightly at the south exit. They had held their hat and checked a map. Go straight, turn left at the T-shape, and walk slowly to the third. I arrive at Circle K at 12:20. Around 1300, it looks like they started up their Nintendo DS and played Dragon Quest IX for a while.
Hey.
And then something, since the number of people is decent, omitted mercilessly 1430. So maybe they played for like an hour and a half. The problem is after this. This is a triangular house that is rumored to be a spiritual spot. I knew that I couldn't put it because I knew it during the preliminary investigation. And then they mentioned what kind of phone they have, an 810T, which I've been using for a long time. And they used it to take pictures while they were hanging around. And they have like a lot of photos, a fair amount of photos in this post, so that's another reason I wanted to link it. They talk about the like how messed up the outside of the house is. There's like a no entry signboard. The grass is like super duper high. They said the shaking of this grass seems to be an extra illusion, which I thought was just like a cool thing. They eventually go into the house and they take a video, but when they're taking the video, it seems to have some problems and it suddenly gets dark or bright. So they, like, while they were filming, I guess, like, it was, that darkness and lightness, like, I think is, like, probably it wasn't focusing, right? Like, it probably was having trouble focusing in the house. And they say that they're at an internet cafe writing this, which, like, just in case you don't know, like, an internet cafe is literally what it sounds like. It's just a, like, place you go to and you pay, like, a few bucks and you just sit down and use a computer there to use the internet for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to an internet cafe and they tried to connect the phone, and like some like abnormalities occurred. If you try to check the contents of the micro SD with the 810T that you've been using, and they, I guess, said they'd had this phone for a long time, when they tried to open the data folder, the screen of the mobile phone became cloudy. The power supply suddenly dropped. When I plugged the cord of the charger, I thought the battery might be out of charge. However, after a few minutes, even if you press and hold the call completion button, it will not start. I thought it was strange. So it looks like they took it to, like, a phone repair, like, kiosk-y type store.
Mm-hmm.
I told a store clerk that I couldn't charge. He brought a plug cord for charging, and when I plugged it in, the charging started. The power was turned on for a while, but in a few minutes, the battery dropped again and charging stopped. This is abnormal. They contracted a 301P model for exchange. So I guess while they were at this phone store, they tried to get a new phone to use for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
The micro SD card that should have backed up the 810 will not respond. This is obviously weird. They take their new phone back to the hotel they were staying at, tried to insert the micro SD card into their computer, and the PC stopped responding. And that's why they're now posting this from an internet cafe. They said, but this was not the only tragedy. I barely managed to rescue the... They have, like, a handful of photos that they posted, and they said, I barely managed to rescue the above 13 photos from the micro SD, but the micro SD has stopped responding to the computer. And they post a picture of their phone. So, like, I guess you know what phone they're talking about?
And it is a flip phone.
Yes, it is a flip phone. And they're, like, basically they're just, like, RIP to their phone, kind of.
Yeah.
Is how they end it. But they, I just thought it was really interesting because they really briefly mentioned it as kind of, like, a throwaway, in, not like a throwaway, but like it's just kind of glossed over in this book. Like, oh, if you go in, your phone won't work. And I just thought it was really interesting to find kind of an account of somebody who like had some phone troubles, not just across one phone, but like several, and it even seemed to like extend to their computer when they were trying to like extract the files that they did. Whatever video they recorded, they definitely didn't post, so I don't know if it was lost or not.
Phones not working is like super common, it seems, in like Japanese ghost stories.
I think it's kind of common, well, maybe not phones specifically, but like that seems common even in our ghost stories. Like,
oh yeah, but it's like, just a common theme I've seen like in researching some of the stuff for like the different tunnels and like towns and stuff. Like your phone doesn't work in any of those places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's...
Also, like he didn't. So in the blog post, does it say he went inside the house?
Yes.
It says, but like, he wasn't able to rescue any photos from inside the house. All of the photos are from the outside of the house.
Yes.
Interesting.
He's got some photos from, like, the back of the house and, like, the corner of the property. And, like, he also took some pictures from, like, across the street. So you can see it, like, at a, you know, slightly wider view.
Yeah, and there was power lines.
There are a lot of power lines. He makes a point to talk about the power lines, but I'm not sure that it's necessarily relevant.
I mean, electromagnetic fields, perhaps.
Maybe.
Ask Zach Bagans about it, he'll tell you.
There's also another... I don't know if I would classify this a blog or not, but I found a website called Tokana. I got a vibe from it that it was maybe like BuzzFeed in nature, kind of, but I'm not positive. But in it, they have... They basically, like, just retell the story that I've already told you, but what makes this particular thing, like, really unique is that it does have a ton of pictures from the inside of the house, including the bloody mattress.
Ooh, please link me.
I will.
Oh, you did already.
I did, yeah, it's in there. There are, in some of the pictures, what appear to be kind of, like, maybe orbs in some of them. I mean, orbs are always, like, really questionable to some people because, you know, dust and bugs and things like that. So, you know, it's certainly hard to tell in a still photo, but there are definitely some, like, orb-type things in the photos. And then there's some pictures that look like they were taken in a kitchen.
That absolutely does look like blood.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's blood, but, like, it looks like blood.
It really fucking does. Like, this is, like... This is gross, I may edit it out, but, like, if you've ever been a girl who, like, got your period while you were sleeping...
Yeah.
It looks like blood. Like, that's what it looks like. That's what your bed will look like. But it's, like, way too much for that.
Yeah, that's definitely way more than a period. And then, like, I think on... So what I have in the link there is page 2. There was somewhere else. I might have to go back and find it, because I thought it was in this Tokana article, but maybe it's not. But there's pictures from in the kitchen, and somebody, like, they, like, you know, draw arrows so you can see it, and then they, like, outline it so it's a little bit more visible, but it's, like, kind of visible anyway. There's something that looks like a face in the kitchen.
Oh, I want to see it.
So I thought it was in this Tokana article, but it must be in a different one I looked at, so I'll have to try and find it so I can post it for you. And the last thing I have that, again, it's not really something that we can play here because it's not necessary, but you can look at it yourself. There's a video from August 16 of 2012 that is somebody, a group of, like, young teenage boys that appear to be, like, breaking into the house, and they recorded on their phone because the, like, video is turned sideways the whole time.
Okay.
But at one, you know, like, the inside of the house is, like, absolutely, like, derelict and, like, fucked up. And there's one point, if you, like, look in the comments of this video, everything's in Japanese again, but there's, like, one point where, like, a bunch of people are, like, oh, at this time, like, or maybe it was a different video. There's, like, one where, like, at this time frame, like, people are scared, and I, like, went to that time frame, and I slowed it down, and I think what it is they move the camera really fast, and I think maybe they're catching a light switch or something. Okay. But the way that they are moving it, it absolutely looks like a face flashing blurry by the thing. I didn't include it because I'm not convinced that it really is a face, but it damn does look like a face. It's really weird. But, like, I also just, like, couldn't, like I said, it might be, like, a light switch or something. But the one that's, I was just talking about, the, like, two teenagers breaking in, their video's about, like, 6 minutes long-ish, but at one point they go into the room with a bloody mattress, and, like, the floor has blood stains. Like,
ooh.
I
wish they had taken pictures of that.
Unless it was, like, freshly put on there or something, like, that's the thing, like, buildings like this that have been abandoned for so long, and, like, they're, like, people are really prone to breaking in and, like, investigating them and checking them out.
Yeah, anyone could be, like, here, I'm adding blood here just so more people can get spooked.
Right, but, like, this looks like, again, this looks like bloodstains on the floor.
Can you link me to that one?
Yes, that one is in the, links that I sent you last night.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That's the first one.
But we will definitely include, I will include the video walkthrough of the teenage boys. I will include the Tokana link because it has so many photos. And I will include the blog post of the person whose, like, cell phone had, like, weird problems after they tried to, like, check out the property. For sure.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all I got, on the, quote, real grudge house. The yellow house.
That is spooky. And, like, honestly, I don't know if I'm just, like, getting, like, you know, the spooks just from, like, hearing about this stuff, but those pictures are fairly creepy.
Yeah. I gotta find the kitchen one. I gotta find the kitchen one. But, yeah, I thought it was really interesting. I wish that I could... I really wanted to, because I always like to do the deep dive, I wanted to see if there was any way to find any kind of history of ownership. But that's way too ambitious, and I don't know why I wanted to do that. That was dumb.
Yeah, it would be hard to look through Japanese records.
Yeah. But that was kind of my intention going into this topic. I did not accomplish that goal, but
because would you go in?
Would I go in?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
My curiosity would get the better of me.
That's the thing, is like, I want to say, like, my common sense would say, like, fuck no, absolutely not. But, like, my curiosity would definitely, like, I don't know.
Curiosity killed the Miranda.
Yes, very true. Y'all, we'll hear about it one day. Kim's gonna, have this really sad episode.
This guy has, like, J-Rock hair.
Huh?
This guy in the video, he's got, like, J-Rock hair.
I know. I thought that, like, that's, like, neither here nor there with the, like, spookiness of the story, but I was like, this is, like,
yeah,
such a thing.
These are some Japanese edgelords going into this house.
It's the Kimoto Meshi. I gotta do that test of courage.
Yeah. Well, that was awesome. I appreciate it. I love that kind of thing, and, like, I would feel like it's not something that's, like, going there without, like, some kind of guide or person to take you in Japan, like, doesn't seem feasible for an American visiting, so it's, like, it's good to hear about it secondhand, at least.
Yeah, it bums me out knowing that it's been turned into a parking lot.
Yeah.
Especially, like, it's, if you look it up, there, like I said, there are tons of, links to, like, where it is on Google Maps, and you can do the, like, jump backwards in time. Mm-hmm. And, like, see it when it was cataloged in old Google Maps drive-thrus. But, like, it is just, like, the weirdest little triangle parking lot now. And that's just so depressing. I always get sad when, like, weird old places like that. Particularly ones that have such a weird history.
I wonder if anyone's, like, car has stopped working there.
I know. That would be so interesting. Like, if there's any, like... Because, like, it mentioned, like, some people say they've seen, like, an old woman in the parking lot. Like, I wonder if there have been any other, like, residual, like... after effects clinging to that area.
Right, and the people didn't report them because they didn't know about it, or they were just like, whatever, it's not relevant.
The house is gone, it's not my problem anymore.
Yeah. Like... Or people just aren't obsessed with this, so they don't catalog every spooky thing that ever happens to them, and they just move on with their life.
Right.
That's not us. Not me.
No.
All right, guys, well, thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, definitely.
we will be continuing with, we have some more Japanese spookiness coming up for you in the coming weeks. Do you wanna do our
I'll do it. Our shoutouts. We have a website where you can check out all of the links and stuff that we've talked about in this episode. The news articles and the Flash videos and the YouTube. All of that's going to be cataloged up on our website, as well as past information and links to where you can listen to us. That's at 13club.com, XIIICLUB.com. We also have a link to information about us in our Ko-fi, if like throwing a few bucks our way is something that you're interested in doing. You can find us on social media. We are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Just search for 13 Club. Again, just make sure you're searching XIII, and you will find us on those various places. We try to do like a little spooky thing a day, like a cool, creepy old photo or like a piece of weird art.
Even like my husband came in last night to talk to me about one of the things you posted.
Oh, yeah? Cool. Yeah. Yeah, so we try to give you a little like daily dose of spooky on our social media, as well as, you know, that's a great place to get updated on when we've got new stuff coming out to you.
Right. And you can DM us there, any of those places, or you can use our email address, which is ask13club@gmail.com. And that's, again, XIII.
Yes. I guess the last thing is just, if you're listening to this, I assume you're already listening to us, but as a reminder, we can be found on Spotify, iTunes, I think Google Play Music, pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find us. So if you are listening to this on a SoundCloud link, but you would prefer to have it downloaded directly to your iTunes app, that's totally an option. We would love, especially if you would leave us a review wherever you're listening, because good reviews are good for us.
Yeah, it helps us get noticed and helps us be able to create more content.
Yes. So I think that covers everything. I think that's everything.
Yeah. Thank you so much, guys. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, thank you. We love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.